Diabetes Revolution podcast with Dr. Sarah Townley, the type 2 diabetes coach, clinical pharmacist, and mom of six angels. You don't have to struggle and fight with your blood sugars for the rest of your life. I'm here to teach you the skills you need to control and even reverse this disease. There is such a thing as getting off your meds and creating a future free from diabetes. And you can have it too. Let's get down to business. Hey, hey, y'all. Welcome back to the Diabetes Revolution podcast. Today, I have a lot of fun stuff to share with you about a terrifying subject, which is hunger. But first, I just want to tell you a little bit about what's been going on in my life, because it's seriously like a reality TV show up in here. So this last week, we had incredibly cold temperatures again. And I mean, I'm talking to the tune of negative 20 degrees outside, you guys. I live in Montana. It can get cold up in here. And an interesting thing that I wasn't expecting was that the new baby and mommy goat that we recently added to our family had to come inside the house. So Daisy is the mom, Betty is the baby, and my husband is in love with these goats. He's actually in love with all animals. And I try to appreciate that about him, but sometimes, you guys, sometimes. Okay. So he brought these two goats in overnight a couple nights last week, and he put them in the basement. He put them in the dog kennel in the basement. So I actually had goats in my basement staring at me while I was working out in the basement. It was a very strange experience. And also, they smell really bad. So while I'm over there gasping and trying to breathe, because I work out kind of hard, you guys, and I'm just gasping in like stinky goat hair smells. The things that I do for my family. Okay, so I thought that might make you chuckle a little bit, imagining me working out in my basement with a couple of stinky goats staring at me. And maybe it just gives you a little bit of thankfulness in your life that you don't have this problem. But you might have the problem of being very hungry sometimes. And so today I am going to teach you why you're hungry, what to do about your hunger, and give you some reassurance that it does get better. Because if you're trying to lose weight and you're trying to reverse your diabetes, any amount of persistent hunger is going to cause people to quit. Because hunger's painful, right? It's scary for a lot of people. And enough of it will break anyone's determination to lose weight and improve their health. Anyone who's ever followed conventional dieting advice, you know, like restricting calories and moving more, probably remembers feeling hungry at some point. We have to lean hard on our willpower to push through hunger, and this never lasts. Right? Willpower is an exhaustible resource. It's like trying to hold your breath underwater. Eventually, you have to come up for air. So, what if you could lose weight and reverse your type 2 diabetes without willpowering through hunger constantly? That is what I want to offer you. As I teach with all the things, though, really understanding what is going on or knowing your enemy is the best weapon you have against it. Hunger is controlled by a complex system of signals between your body and your brain, and I'm going to keep this as simple as possible to help you apply this information right away. It's not really that important that you remember all the names of the hormones, but it's just good for you to understand that it is controlled by your hormones, and why some of these might be out of whack and how to balance those is going to be powerful and empowering information. Before we get into the details, though, I want to make sure that I separate true physical hunger from mind hunger. So some of my clients cannot tell the difference right away. True physical hunger is a sensation. It comes from your body, right? From your empty stomach, grumbling, and it travels up to your brain. And we are going to go into detail about these signals and why, for many of you, why they're out of whack. Resetting these by cleaning up your diet will help tremendously if you are one that is struggling with hunger. Now, mind hunger is totally different. Mind hunger comes from your brain and travels down into your body. You might think of it as a craving or an urge to eat. Hunger is like a highly suggestible state because we can see or smell or even think about food and suddenly we can feel hunger, right? Like think of all those billboards that we pass or all the ads that come on TV, or if you've just like walked into a space where somebody is cooking or eating yummy food, all of a sudden you can feel your appetite. Some of us have used food to celebrate or comfort ourselves, right, for much of our lives. And we might think we are hungry, but when we really check in with our bodies, it isn't true physical hunger that we are noticing. This is so important to distinguish because emotional eating can sabotage even our best efforts. There are many times, especially when I am deciding to fast, that I have to ask myself, am I really hungry? Is this true physical hunger? Because my mind will sometimes create sensations of hunger by just thinking about food or being around food or smelling food. Now, you might not think you're an emotional eater, but I want you to think about yesterday or like the last couple days. What percentage of the time did you eat or drink something when you weren't actually hungry? I would guess many of us have so many ingrained habits around eating that we rarely experience true physical hunger, right? Like we eat because, you know, it's time to eat or because we're concerned that we might get hungry later when we can't break away to eat or because something showed up in the break room at work that looked tempting. There are hundreds of reasons why we eat that have nothing to do with true physical hunger. So it's really important for you to start to identify what your reasons are. And you may not label it as emotional eating, but you do need to ask that question of what problem is this food solving for me right now if it's not hunger? Okay, so let's switch and start talking about how your hunger is actually controlled. And I'm talking about physical hunger. It's controlled by your hormones. There are two main groups of hormones that are influencing that physical hunger sensation. There's hormones that stimulate hunger and promote appetite. And then there are hormones that promote satiety and decrease your appetite. So there are two main hormones that are going to increase your appetite and make you feel hungry. The most commonly thought of one is called ghrelin. It's often called the hunger hormone. It's made mostly by the stomach, and when empty, that signals the part of your brain that stimulates hunger. The second hormone that some of you may know about that makes you hungry or increases your appetite is cortisol. You especially know this if you've had to take steroids or prednisone in your lifetime. It can actually make you hungry when you increase that stress hormone in your body. It's a steroid hormone that is made by your adrenal glands and released in response to different kinds of stress. So it could be physical stress like illness, sleep deprivation, but it could also be emotional stress like anxiety and fear. All those different kinds of stress increase the stress hormone cortisol. There are also a good number of hormones that decrease your hunger and your appetite. The one that I think most of us don't think of is insulin. So we talk so much about insulin in this podcast because understanding how insulin is controlling insulin resistance is very important to learning how to solve insulin resistance. But insulin is normally supposed to increase and blunt your appetite, okay? It makes sense. When you eat food, insulin goes up most of the time. And that's supposed to signal to your brain to decrease hunger. But in people who have insulin resistance and type 2 diabetes, this signal is impaired, right? You're resistant to insulin, even in the brain. There's another hormone that this is happening with too that really controls your appetite. It's called leptin. This is a hormone that's actually made by your fat cells, and it decreases your appetite. It also motivates you to move, gets you moving, okay? Now, what's really interesting about leptin is that in obese people, we see that the levels of leptin can be like 4 times higher, much, much higher than what is normal. And that's actually because of a problem called leptin resistance, where the brain is actually resistant to that signal of leptin to decrease hunger and increase physical activity. And so the body just makes more trying to overcome that resistance. Also, high insulin levels block leptin signal to the brain. And so in obese people, there's oftentimes insulin resistance at play as well. And so they have this double whammy going on where you're insulin resistant and insulin is high and it's blocking leptin signal to the brain to stop eating and start moving the body. And then there's leptin resistance on top of it where you, even though your levels are really, really high, your brain is not receiving that signal. There's also a good number of gut hormones, and I'm not going to bore you with the scientific names of these, but there are various hormones that are released by the GI tract that signal fullness and satiety to the brain, right? When your tummy starts filling up with food, these are hormones that get released that tell your brain, hey, we got plenty of food in here. These are released strongly in response to consuming fats and proteins rather than sugar and flour. So this might feel true to you if you think about how you feel after you eat 6 ounces of steak or 6 ounces of salmon versus half a bag of potato chips, right? Like those hormones are going to be released way more quickly and strongly when you're eating food that is rich in fat and protein rather than, you know, just empty calories that are coming from refined carbs. So what does all this even mean? It's a lot of technical information. Now I want to make this meaningful to you. Here are the ways that this information might matter to you. Number one is that hunger signals get all out of balance when there's insulin resistance and high levels of insulin around, right? This is the state of a person with type 2 diabetes. Insulin blocks your access to your fat stores. It like locks it away. And that makes you dependent on glucose for fuel. So when glucose levels are getting low, your body needs you to raise your glucose levels, and it will prompt you by sending physical hunger signals to your brain, and they will feel very intense and urgent if you don't respond to them. So you think about why that would be. Well, your body needs energy, and if it can't access your stored energy because insulin is really high, it needs you to eat. And so it's going to make that signal to eat very strong and very loud and very difficult to ignore because your body is going to have no other recourse to get its energy. Number two is that insulin blocks your brain from responding to leptin, right? I mentioned that earlier. The hormone leptin that's released by your fat cells and decreases your appetite. And so that leptin resistance that's common in obese people is going to drive super high levels of leptin, okay? And leptin is going to make you feel like you're starving, even though you have an abundance of stored body fat. Okay, so now that you understand how your hormones are out of whack, possibly, and affecting your hunger, I want to talk a little bit more about diet. So the third thing I want to teach you here is that a low-fat, high-carbohydrate diet is not only driving up insulin levels, not what we want, but doesn't send satiety signals to the brain. This is why, like, a big bowl of cereal doesn't fill you up. okay, for very long. But the idea of eating anything more after an 8-ounce steak is nauseating, unless it's like dessert, right? So fats and proteins are producing strong satiety signals to the brain naturally. So if you replaced, for example, oatmeal and a banana for breakfast, which sounds healthy, but what if you replace that with 2 scrambled eggs and 2 sausage links, for example? You're probably not going to be looking for a snack at 10:30 a.m. to tide you over to lunchtime if you have a high-protein, high-fat breakfast like that. And that's simply because of how that affects your hormones. All right, the fourth thing I want you to know is that keeping stress levels low and getting enough sleep keep cortisol levels in check, okay? And that's going to help regulate your appetite. The fifth thing I want you to know is that hunger is going to come in waves. Think of a time when you weren't able to eat on schedule. Okay, sure, you got hungry, but if you were distracted after a short time, your hunger probably just went away, right? So I want you to think about the times of days that you typically will eat. Most people eat breakfast at a certain time, lunch at a certain time, dinner at a certain time. Okay. Now, your body is expecting you to eat at those times because of how the circadian rhythm is going to be linked to the natural rise and falling of these hormones. So your body will actually learn what time to expect food based on what you've taught it. And these hormones are released at times where this is expected to happen, and it prepares your body to receive nutrients. It's actually incredible when you think about how closely connected our brains and our bodies are and how intelligent that your body is. And so if you've trained your body to expect food at a certain time and you do not eat, that hormone that is stimulating the hunger at that time that you've trained hunger to happen or food to be eaten will eventually just dissipate. And it doesn't take very long. It usually takes about 15 minutes. Okay. If you were to just notice that you were hungry, and I'm not talking about this intense, urgent hunger that happens when your hormones are out of whack. We're going to talk about that more in a minute. I'm just talking about a normal hunger signal. This typically will dissipate and self-resolve within about 15 minutes of it first coming on the scene. Okay. That's the natural way the hormones rise and fall. All right. So number 6, I want you to know that hunger signals decrease in intensity when they're properly balanced. Okay, we're talking about that urgent, painful hunger. That's not normal hunger. That is hunger that is coming from a body that is, its hormones are all out of whack and has no other recourse for fuel and cannot access stored body fat. Okay, that makes the hunger really intense. So most of us have experienced that painful, urgent kind of hunger that feels like an emergency, right? There's really no hope of ignoring that because it feels like agony. And many of us, if we've had this kind of hunger before, we fear hunger, and we fear it because it's not only painful, but we believe that it's going to continue to build in intensity until we can't bear it anymore. So the good news is that this isn't at all the case. When our hormones are balanced, hunger becomes more of an uncomfortable reminder, okay? A strong suggestion, if you will. Because once your body is able to access fat for fuel when you don't feed it right away, hunger takes care of itself. So this happens when we're, quote, fat adapted. Okay, that means that our bodies are designed to store fat in times of plenty and then use it to sustain us when food is unavailable. So we have dozens of, quote, meals in the form of stored fat on our bodies, and we're keeping it there for a time where we are not able to eat. That's how we're designed. And your body learns to efficiently burn fat when you stop your dependence on sugar for fuel. So once you are able to balance those hormones and access your body fat, right? You're getting your insulin levels down, you're reversing insulin resistance, your hunger hormones are balancing. And when you don't respond to a hunger cue from your body with eating, what happens is your body understands that it's time to access stored body fat and will begin to tap in or, quote, dine in and liberate stored energy. And when that happens, those hunger hormones dissipate and your body is able to fuel itself with stored body fat. And that's what most of us are wanting to do. We want to become fat adapted. We want to be able to use the stored energy that's on our bodies instead of be dependent on eating food constantly throughout the day to fuel our bodies with energy, right? So let's talk about some dietary strategies that eliminate hunger and balance, you know, by balancing those hormones, and how we can also use these strategies to reverse insulin resistance. So now that we understand better what is driving hunger and satiety, we can logically find our way to the solution. So here are my top five strategies for taming hunger so that you can reach your goals. Number one is pretty much non-negotiable. You're going to find this strategy is an incremental part of any plan that is used to reverse insulin resistance and heal diabetes. Number one is to cut out refined carbohydrates. So this is anything, any kind of source of carbs, right? Like grains, fruits, any of those things that are processed and made primarily from sugar and flour. Because these highly concentrated forms of glucose, my body converts all of these types of carbohydrates into glucose. These concentrated forms of carbohydrates are going to drive up insulin and promote insulin resistance. They probably caused your diabetes. And so removing them, removing all, you know, wheat flour and all sugar from your diet is a very important first step to take to help balance those hunger hormones and get your insulin in check. The second thing that we want to do is learn how our body is responding to other carbohydrates. These are whole food carbohydrates, not refined, but complex carbs or whole food carbs. You don't have to eliminate them, but you will want to pay attention to these because they're going to require your body to make insulin to process this nutrient. I recommend any of these complex carbs that are whole foods. I'm talking about corn, I'm talking about rice, potatoes, any kind of fruit, any kind of naturally occurring carb in its whole food form. When you eat these, I want you to eat to your meter, and there's a whole podcast episode about how to do that. But if you're noticing that, they spike your glucose significantly, like more than 40 points, for example. Or if they just raise your blood glucose and your body's unable to get your blood sugar back down, you know, briefly after you eat, then those are things that your body is not tolerating. And you want to take note of which ones they are. Not everybody responds the same way to sweet potatoes or to quinoa or to certain kinds of fruits. So your body is its own, has its own way of telling you which one is okay and which one's not. And checking your blood sugar is the most, you know, the easiest way for you to learn which ones that those are. And so when you notice that there are things that complex carbs that your body doesn't tolerate, you want to begin to minimize or eliminate those as well. And what we want to do is trade those in for healthy whole food sources of fats and proteins. So there's a whole podcast episode on what to eat to reverse type 2 diabetes where I get into more details, but for now we're going to keep it simple. Because you want to remember that the major strategy that you employ to reverse type 2 diabetes is to eat in a way that keeps your insulin levels low. This allows you to reverse insulin resistance and burn fat for fuel and become fat adapted. Okay, so the third strategy is to eat plenty of protein and natural fats to keep you satisfied. We're going to want to avoid any sources of trans fats like vegetable oil, any kind of fake oil that is not coming from natural sources like plants and animals, you want to avoid those. So anything that is a healthy fat that's coming from plants and animals, like heavy cream, butter, olive oil, bacon and eggs, salmon, right, nut butters and nuts and avocados and olives, all of these are great examples of healthy fats. Healthy fat can be your best friend when it comes to a diet that helps you reverse your diabetes, helps you heal from insulin resistance, because fat is a wonderful source of energy. It also is a very satiating source of nutrients, and it has almost no effect on your blood sugar or your insulin levels. And it tastes amazing, right? Okay, the fourth strategy is that you want to eliminate snacking, and you want to restrict your eating window gradually. So this means narrowing the window of your 24-hour day in which you are in a fed state. So most people start eating food early in the morning and continue, you know, frequently to eat or drink calories of in some kind almost throughout the entire day until bedtime. So this is easily producing an eating window of like 14 hours every day, right? And sometimes longer if you're eating a late night bedtime snack. So I want you to start narrowing that down. I want you to shrink that window of time that you are in a fed state and you are eating or drinking food by a couple hours. And then I want you to let your body adjust to that. And then I want you to shrink it some more. And the goal is to allow yourself to remain in a fasted state more of the day than in a fed state. We all fast when we're sleeping, right? And I just want you to extend that period of time because that is a powerful way to reduce your insulin levels and helps reset your leptin and your ghrelin levels. And then the last strategy is to drink plenty of water and get enough sleep every night. So if we're dehydrated or thirsty, sometimes we mistake this for a hunger sensation. Okay, so the best rule to follow is not a mandatory like volume of water every day, but rather a practical and logical guideline. Like I'm all about what makes sense, what's easy to implement. And so trying to tell you a certain amount is the right amount for you to me is insane because everybody is different from one person to another, but also it doesn't need to be that calculated. I just want you to drink enough water to keep your urine a pale yellow, a very light yellow or clear color. I've already mentioned why sleep is so important, but physical stress like sleep deprivation is raising cortisol levels, right? That's not what we want to do because it makes us hungry and it raises the blood sugar and thereby it's raising insulin in the body and making it difficult to burn body fat. That's no bueno for anyone trying to reverse type 2 diabetes, right? All right, so the last thing I want to say to you is if you're feeling hungry, I want you to make sure you're checking in with your body to see if it's truly physical hunger. Is it just that you're bored? You know, are you just thinking about food or wanting to eat for some other reason, right? I want you to ask yourself that. And an easy way to tell if you're really hungry is to ask yourself, does a healthy meal sound good to me right now? Or am I just craving something that isn't good fuel for my body? If it is true physical hunger, I do want you to honor your body. I want you to eat wisely, right? Eat in a way that employs those strategies that we went over. Because over time, your body is going to balance its hormones if you keep supporting it in a way that is conducive to healing. There is no need to struggle and force your way through true physical hunger. If you are patient and care for your body properly, it's going to heal and those hormones are going to balance and your body is going to learn how to burn fat for fuel. And so it's okay if you're truly physically hungry in the time that you are working on healing to support your body with energy when it's hungry. That's okay to do. All right. So this podcast, I hope, allays a lot of your fears and gives you some real practical ways to deal with your hunger, and then just gives you the ways to pick up on whether or not your hunger hormones are balancing. And of course, if you would rather wait and see what happens to that hunger, if you just ride it out, you will notice that if your hunger hormones are balancing, that hunger should dissipate after about 15 minutes. And guess what happens when you do that? Your body is dining in. You are accessing your body fat for fuel. Okay, so if you are applying this information and it just feels hard, feels like you're not getting anywhere, feels confusing, or you keep self-sabotaging, whatever the obstacles are, I want to remind you that that is what I do with my clients, is help them resolve those problems so that they can keep taking action to eventually reverse their diabetes and get off their diabetes meds. If this sounds like something that you're interested in, I want you to schedule a free consult with me. In that hour, I will spend with you listening to your situation and telling you what I think it would take for you to be able to heal your body from type 2 diabetes. And with my background in mainstream medicine as a pharmacist, I can help you understand how to navigate this process without feeling afraid of having low blood sugars or what to do about your medications or how to understand what is the next step to take the entire way to a happy ending, right? All of us can use some support because this work is not easy, friends. And you're not alone. So if you're interested in learning about how to schedule a free consult with me, all you have to do is go to my website. I will link to it in the show notes, but it's sarahtownley.com. When you get there, click on Work With Me. All right, I will see you guys next week. High five for tuning in with me today. You are getting smarter and stronger when you show up for yourself this way. You can get more free tools to help you control type 2 diabetes on my website, sarahtownley.com. And if you're serious about ending your struggle with diabetes, join my membership, The Diabetes Revolution, where you work with me in a community of people just like you. See you on the next episode.